Blog Talk Radio.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets, with your host Colin Knight, aka Guru Nostra, and co-host Hugh Matt.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, madame and messieurs, boys and girls, mes enfants. Welcome to another edition of VOCR Radio. I am your host, Colin Knight, aka Guru Nostra, and shotgunning with me tonight is my co-host, Hugh Mack. It's great to be here. Lots to get to tonight, so fill up your glasses, find your favorite seat, crank up the volume, and we'll be right back.
In your face, all over the place.
We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets. Broadcasting from coast to coast to coast, nationwide, and around the world on blogtalkradio.com, on the TerraChat Radio Network.
We will keep this promise to the American people. If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor, period. If you like your health care plan, you will be able to keep your health care plan, period.
First of all, the sequester is not something that I propose. It's something that Congress has proposed. It will not happen.
It was requested by the president. It was his idea, signed into law by him.
First of all, the sequester is not something that I propose. It's something that Congress has proposed. It will not happen.
The sequester was something that was discussed, and as has been reported, it was an idea that the White House put forward.
Had enough. That's why I warned you guys yesterday, be careful what you wrote. Okay, so, and the last thing was, it says that I wanted to eat her foot. I've never said that in my life to her. I would never do that. I'm happily married. I've got more than enough to eat at home. The revelations yesterday of cocaine, escorts, prostitution has pushed me over the line. And I used unforgivable language. And again, I apologize.
Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Guru Nostra, and co-host, Hugh Mack.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies. Now, it's been some time since we were last on the air as the VOCR, so there is lots to chat about. My chat name, of course, is Guru Nostra, a.k.a. Colin Knight, and I'm your host tonight, Riding Shotgun, is my co-host Hugh Mack, who we'll chat with in just a few. Special shout-outs to the Scottish lass. We're so sorry for your loss, and you are in our thoughts. And to the BC Dreamcatcher, hope you're not too snowed in. Looking forward to your next road trip to Calgary. And of course, last but not least, the Southeast Brickies' much better half. Hope you and the Sugar Plum Princess are well. Blessings on your household. We will forego the email tonight, as we have much to get to. My co-host is Hugh Mack. Good evening, Hugh. Glad you could join me tonight.
Hi, Colin. How you doing?
I got a raging cold, so if I suddenly disappear on you, it's usually to hack up my left or my right lung. We're not quite sure which one, but one of them will be coming up for sure. It's horrible.
Well, we'll try and keep the ball rolling, but... Yeah, it was nasty weather at this in these parts.
Yeah, it is. It's minus 17.
Nasty
Celsius.
Cold. And, yep.
Minus 17 Celsius and a wind chill of down to minus 25. So it's like, ouch. That's all I can say.
Yeah,
about
and it. One of the first snowfalls of the year, too. So the driving is treacherous
yeah.
around here.
One of the major snowfalls, yeah, definitely. Before we get going, there's a couple of housekeeping things we'd better take care of. Of course, on Thursday, it will be the 50th anniversary of the JFK assassination on November the 22nd, 1963. Do you remember where you were when you got the news?
I do, actually. I was in grade one at the time, and I was just on my way home for lunch when one of the other little kids came and told me President Kennedy had been shot.
Right. Yeah, I was 7 years old.
Never forget it.
I was 7 years old and just getting ready for bed in England, because there's an 8-hour difference, of course. So I was just about to climb into bed, and I heard it on my little Japanese plastic radio that I had hidden under my pillow to listen to some of the old-time radio shows without my parents knowing. And, it was a shock then, and, you know, 50 years later, Hugh, and I got to say, every time I hear the soundbite, it's a shock again.
Just a moment, we have a bulletin coming in. We now switch you directly to Parkland Hospital and KBOX News Director Bill Hampton.
The President of the United States is dead. I have just talked to Father Oscar Hubert of the Holy Trinity Catholic Church. He and another priest tell me that the pair of men have just administered the last rites of the Catholic Church to President Kennedy. I asked the Father, is Mr. Kennedy dead? And his quote, he's dead all right.
Yeah, he's dead all right. And 50 years later, the conspiracy continues. I don't think we've ever really found out what happened.
No, it seems the more that the official line gets held, that the more ridiculous it sounds. The whole thing was ridiculous. The whole investigation was ridiculous right down the line, I think. But no, I don't think we're ever going to find out who shot him.
No. The Warren Commission, of course, was an absolute farce, let's face it. The magic bullet theory was ludicrous. And since then, there has been lots of suppositions as to what happened. And I believe O'Reilly from the O'Reilly Factor has a book out, came out a couple of weeks ago regarding who killed the president.
Oh, yeah, well, he'd have to find a way to capitalize on it, wouldn't he?
Well, yeah, they all do, unfortunately, you know. And once again, yeah. You can never find out the truth because of all the panavling and, you know, these people in it for their own gain, you know. They're 15
well,
minutes
yeah,
of
yeah.
fame.
Yeah, and I mean, if you start looking at all those people, they're all guilty, really. All of the people that had anything to gain by his death, and there were many, they were probably all involved in it one way or another.
Yeah, I read a book be about 10-12 years ago, and it was regarding LBG. I think it was something like the Unauthorized Biography, and. They prefaced in there that they believe LBJ ordered the assassination because of the military-industrial complex.
That's certainly one of the theories. And again, I would say that all of the theories have a certain amount of validity. You know, whether Castro organized crime certainly had something to gain by it, and they were quite likely involved in it in one way or another, like I said. There were just so many people to whom Kennedy was a threat, or appeared to be anyways, and I think any and or all of them were involved, and I think anybody that thinks John Kennedy died at the hands of Lee Harvey Oswald, I think that's just kind of silly.
Yeah, I think so too. I truly think so, too. I saw a special on TV about a month ago, actually, where they are theorizing that a Secret Service agent in the back car with a rifle accidentally fired the rifle, which was the kill shot for Kennedy. Now, you know, once again, a new theory on top of 50 years of old theories.
Yep. Yep, and there's been many. There's been so many of them over the years. There was even one, you can find it on YouTube, find a video where they suggest that the driver of the car actually turned around, and because you can't actually see his hand, they suggest that he had a gun in it. And from the timing of the video, it's certainly possible, but I didn't see a gun, and that just seems rather odd to me. But then, you know, the whole thing is rather odd when you do it piece by piece.
Yeah, well, the Zapruder tape is about the best they've got for evidence, and given that, there are a couple of other tapes, but they just don't assist with the actual headshot. And they
yeah, that's the Bruder tape must be one of the sorry.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's the Bruder tape must be one of the longest running films in existence now.
I think so, yeah.
Far outshining anything in Hollywood.
Yeah. Now, apparently, they just transferred it to HD, and they've managed to be able to slow it down frame by frame and have a look at it that way. And they're, you know, there's all kind of theories coming out of there that are completely different to the Warren Commission. So, you know, I will we ever know? I'm not quite sure. I doubt that we will. Whoever
it seems
did
unlikely.
It, yeah. Whoever did it got away with it. I look at who had the most to gain, and that would be LBJ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, quite simple, right? LBJ.
Well, again, you know, the organized crime. If he was going to let his brother, who was the Attorney General, declare war on organized crime, especially after they put him in office, or at least participate. I think that they certainly would have been willing to do the job. And after an apparent assassination attempt on Fidel Castro, there could have been something there, speculation of CIA. I mean, somebody had to tell the Secret Service to stand down that day because they had.
Right. Jeez.
So,
there's
a lot of good theories.
Yeah. Was Valerie Jarrett alive then? Was she involved in that? She seems to stand down the military on a regular basis when there's a crisis, so I don't know. And the Philippines, of course, my good God, those poor, poor, poor people. The decimation in the Philippines is far beyond anything I think I've ever seen. It almost looks like a nuclear bomb has gone off.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the footage even since it happened, but I've been hearing the news reports, and it sounds like tragic, just tragic.
Yeah, they say up to 700,000 people displaced and no running water. You know, the Canadians have sent their DART team to provide their fresh water. They now have three teams there. They originally sent one, but they now have three. And even that is a drop in the bucket compared to what they need, you know. And I was very, very sad to see that the Chinese offered very little assistance. Everybody else around the world pitched in and threw in everything they could, but the Chinese government almost ignored the problem.
Well, that says something, I guess, doesn't it?
They've had that ongoing spat for quite some time, them and Japan. So, you know, the Japanese were the first in there after the devastation. So, you know, that's got to say something. And here on the North American continent, my God, 80 twisters, you know, like touchdowns and torpedoes, and my God, what a mess.
Yeah, right in the middle of the football game in Chicago, I guess, on Sunday night, got all the fans huddled in the concourse areas of the stadium and took all the personnel off the field. It was, and it turned into a nasty storm.
Do you buy into the theory that that weather can be manipulated by governments, by the enemy?
Well, I certainly accept the possibility. I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, directed energy weapons and energy manipulation and weather manipulation, and a lot of it sounds perfectly feasible to me. Now, whether or not it's happening and to what degree it might be happening, I don't know, but I certainly accept that's a possibility. I mean, you know, it was written about 50 years ago and maybe 100 years ago even. I think as a possibility, it certainly exists. I tend to look at the way the weather has been changing, and it doesn't seem to me entirely cosmic. A lot of it seems man-made. And I look up in the sky and I see these chemtrails floating around up there, and you got to wonder what they're doing.
Well, excuse me, I'm trying not to cough. I don't buy into the chemtrails as much. Excuse me.
Well, the chemtrails, Colin. I guess it's like any other conspiracy theory. It's really hard to find out the truth. But when I see these trails going overhead and they're there for hours on end without hardly changing shape, that's more than just condensation trails. Now, what it is, I don't know. There's been reports that things like high levels of barium, cadmium, and all these other chemicals in areas where that has happened. But I don't know what they're spraying up there, but I'm pretty convinced a lot of those trails are water.
And do you think it's to alter the atmosphere in some way? I've read a lot on this chemtrail stuff, and I just can't get my finger on it, I just can't
see. Well,
I'm not
entirely sure it's whether it's to alter weather or whether there's another agenda behind it, but there clearly seems to me, anyways, to be an agenda those chemtrails. I mean, they appear in almost the grid over lightly populated areas, to say the least, or unlikely areas, and it seems like they're doing something. Now, whether it's the weather or what it is, I couldn't say for sure, but it's certainly curious.
Well, I did get a piece of information from somebody that contributes to my Night Talk blog in the technical UFO side, and they are of the opinion that these chemtrails are seeding the heavens, if you will, to prevent something that is coming in from Earth. Do you remember the red rain that happened a few years ago? Do you remember that, Matt?
Yeah.
Red rain, And the person didn't have any backup or any solid evidence, but they were of the opinion that that we're seeding the skies to prevent whatever is coming in from elsewhere, I guess is the best way of saying it. Now, again, I don't know if I can buy it. I don't know. There's not enough information yet. But
question that pops into my head, Colin, is why then are they so secretive with the information on it? If they're doing this just to prevent some natural phenomenon, then why wouldn't they be bragging about it like they brag about everything else that they try to convince us they do? I think there's something a little more sinister than that going on there. And again, I don't know what it is, but they're awful secretive.
Because this does seem to be worldwide. It doesn't seem to have a nationality. I've seen photos from Europe and from Russia, from Australia and the Philippines and South America, all of these chemtrails in the sky. So, again, like I say, I don't have the answer. And if anybody out there does have some information, by all means, send it to my email, vocr2012@gmail.com. And we'll look over it and try and come up with a show regarding chemtrails up on the Night Talk radio show. And, you never know. There might be something there worth discussing. As it stands right now, I just find it to be an anomaly.
Yep. We'll leave it at that because, like I said, I have no explanation.
Yeah. But
I've heard theories, but...
Yeah, exactly. And I've never seen so many tornadoes touching down in a short span as what happened the other day. I mean, that was, I think they're reporting over 80 touchdowns. Like, that is just, I mean, could you imagine being in that barrage of tornadoes? My God, it's like the world has come to an end.
Oh, I'd be scared to death if one tornado was coming at me.
Exactly.
But trying to get out of the way of that many. Well, no, that is scary, and I really feel for the people in those areas that were hit, because those things they show no sympathy. They take no prisoners. Those tornadoes.
And fortunately enough, the death toll wasn't as heavy as in the Philippines or elsewhere. The death toll, although horrible, was still rather light. In comparison. Thank God for that. That's all I can say. Because I've seen a twister, I've seen a tornado, and it's no fun, because if you go right, it seems to go right and then go left. It's almost like it's chasing you, like it knows you're there.
Yep.
And if you live in a mobile home, God help you, you know, because it'll find you.
Yep.
You know, noticed how they always they always aim for mobile home trailer parks. You know, it seems that way,
doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, I'm sure it's just a coincidence, but I'm not a very big believer in coincidence. I think everything has a reason. We just can't understand what that reason is sometimes. But, yeah, you know, it's kind of funny with the Katrina devastation and then the... you know, the New York flooding, and now this tornado. You know, Barack Obama has basically done nothing, and nobody says boo to the ghost, but when George W. Bush was a little late in getting to the start line, boy, they crucified him on that.
Well, I think there may be a lot of reasons for that. I think George Bush and his audacity just screamed out for the kind of attention and outrage that it drew. But I think at this point, the Americans must be just throwing their hands up over their heads, wondering, you know, is there any such thing as a decent politician? I just look at what goes on down there, and it's amazing. It just amazes me.
It is. It is. Tell you what, let's do a quick break, and we'll be back in 1:16, and we'll have a look at the good old U.S. Obamacare.
All right.
This is VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies.
We believe probable cause exists indicating that forgery and fraud may have been committed.
President Obama's status on Arizona's ballots is in question there.
Our goal in the beginning was to prove this document authentic. The problem is the evidence kept taking us somewhere else.
The Rockets late night when we took our trip to Africa and visited his home country in Kenya.
I've spoken here last. Lots of ups, lots of downs. Except for my approval ratings, which have just gone down. But that's politics. It doesn't bother me. Besides, I happen to know that my approval ratings are still very high in the country of my birth.
That Obama's literary agent of a book that was scheduled to be released in 1991, or a booklet, states emphatically that Obama was born in Kenya and raised in Indonesia and Hawaii.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockets on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Now, there are all kinds of stories and chats and claims that Barack Obama is a usurper and wasn't even born in the United States and doesn't qualify to be president. There is a challenge in one of the state Supreme Courts right now. Let me see if I can find it. Anyway, there's a challenge going on in one of the, Alabama, that there are multiple copies of Barack Hussein's real birth certificate that are surfacing, and every one of them indicates fraud. And in a rare move, the Alabama Democratic Party has submitted an amicus brief in the McInnes Good versus Chapman appeal case. And the reason being is most likely because the Alabama Supreme Court has Chief Justice Roy Moore presiding over it, and the Alabama Democratic Party just submitted a completely different birth certificate than the one that was posted at the White House in 2011. So, you know, it's getting deep out there, and who knows what the truth is with that story. And I find it very difficult to accept that somebody would be able to perpetrate such a BS to get somebody into the president's seat. But it's certainly looking like something happened.
Let me ask you this too, Colin. Now, if some of these calls to arms that I'm hearing of late about Barack Obama and people in his administration being guilty of treason for some of the things that they've, some of the attacks they've made on the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Does the fact that If they were to find his birth certificate to be a phony, then he wouldn't be an American citizen. They couldn't charge him with treason, could they?
Good point. No, but everything that he signed from day one to the point of finding it to be false basically would not be law. In other words, all of the trade treaties, all of the agreements, everything that he put his signature to, if in fact he was a usurper, would be null and void. And that would create such a calamity on Earth between our our friends and our enemies. Some of these treaties
it very well
tenuous.
Could bring down the government.
It could.
That could
it
bring could. Down the government in the United States.
And I'm wondering if that is why they're really trying to subdue the story, because they know the danger of what it will do if, in fact, they manage to prove, you know?
Well, what if somebody in charge was just trying to they knew what this would do, and they were trying to glean favors from other countries and some of their political allies, knowing full well they wouldn't that anything that they gave up, anything that they threw into the pot, would be null and void because of it.
Yeah.
That's, I suppose, an overly suspicious look at it, but I don't know. They tend to make me want to be overly suspicious.
Yeah. And I received a newspaper clipping today, actually an email and a link, that Egyptian newspaper Al Watan, a group of Egyptian lawyers, have submitted a complaint charging Obama with crimes against humanity at the International Criminal Court. Now, that has a big bang to it. If that actually goes through, that could be very, very nasty. And in the same at the same time, I received a second email link from the Times of Israel reporting that a team of negotiators led by White House advisor Valerie Jarrett has been conducting secret talks with Iran about its nuclear weapons program for the past year. Now, if that is the case, that is absolutely against the United States law. That would be Kerry. That wouldn't be Valerie Jarrett, who is a known Muslim Brotherhood sympathizer. She has family in the Muslim Brotherhood. So, you know, this story is breaking too. And then I get another story today that Barack Obama is going to make an attempt to run a third term by basically suspending, I think it's the Second Amendment. I forget what it is because I'm Canadian, of course, so we don't know all of the amendments. But there is one amendment that Franklin Delano Roosevelt put in place and got voted in by a majority that prevents the president from running three terms. But apparently they're going to try and vacate that amendment and allow Obama to run for a third term. But by the looks of his numbers today, I don't think he wants to, because he's got the lowest ranking, the lowest support of any president in history right now.
Yeah, I don't think he would serve a full 3 years either. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if his backers, you know, they got him in for a third term. If they were able to pull that off, it wouldn't surprise me in the least if very shortly thereafter information would come out that would make him impeachable, and then they could plant the president in for the balance of that term. I thought George Bush was going to try and pull that in his term, and I guess he was too busy assaulting the Constitution on other fronts, but he didn't do it. And getting back to the being charged with crimes against humanity, didn't we hear a couple of years ago that there was a movement somewhere in the United Nations or somewhere in the international courts? They were bringing charges against Dick Cheney and that too, and I haven't heard anything from that yet either. So no. I wouldn't hold my breath, anyways. You know,
it's the United Nations. It's the United Nations. Yeah, but, I mean, you know, It's the United Nations.
Well, yeah.
Nothing comes out of the United Nations that has any value in my eyes. I think it's a defunct organization that should be basically, it should be taken apart, and the billions and trillions of dollars that countries are spending on the United Nations should be given back to the countries that can't afford to be a member and allow them to take care of their own families. You know, like the United Nations have done nothing. They're just Band-Aid fixes. I remember when North and South Korea and the big police action, and when they signed the armistice, they haven't declared peace. They've just declared a ceasefire. So the UN put in the demarcation zone, and that was it.
Yeah.
And that's been there now for nigh on 55 years. And they never went back to it to take care of it. They just left that in place as, okay, that's good and sufficient. They did the same thing in Aden, exactly the same thing. The British and Canadians were patrolling the demarcation zone there for the last 35 years, and they did the same thing on the Golan Heights. That is what they consider a fix. You know, that's it. And they'll take hundreds of billions of dollars from contributing nations to give that kind of wishy-washy repair to a society.
Yeah, yeah. And I like your idea about breaking up the United Nations, giving them money back to the people in their respective countries. Why don't we do that with the oil, too? Why don't we say let the people of Iraq run their own oil and have their own resources, and all the other countries that seem to have surrendered their resources in the name of democracy?
Yeah. Well, I saw in Afghanistan that Karzai wanted to talk to the Americans because he's not happy with the agreement that's in place or going to be in place, you know? Really wants to be a slice of pie, kind of pie. And I'm thinking, you ungrateful son of a gun, you know?
They like, put him in there,
You know, thousands of American and coalition troops have died. Billions of dollars have been paid into the country to build schools and water, and they've been blown up and destroyed. You know, the place is just as bad before we even went in there to try and help them. And he is holding out for more money. And it's like, as far as I'm concerned, just pull the plug and just say, you're on your own. You're on your own. Let the Taliban have it. You know?
Yeah. There's probably even in Afghanistan, there's resources they want to keep their hands on, though, so that's not going to happen anyways. And they'll keep feeding him the money as long as he keeps everybody in line and provides a stable government. They'll keep feeding him the money because they'll keep sucking it out of this country.
The problem is there's a massive copper deposits, some uranium deposits, cobalt, and a few other mining minerals that everybody wants a piece of. The Russians, the opium, exactly. And the opium crop, it's the best crop they've ever had this last 12 months. They've never had a better crop. I mean, it's just incredible the amount of opium that's coming out of Afghanistan. Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Well,
you
now they've got... Now that they're democratized, or at least on the verge of it to some degree, that they now have the resources, the technology that of the West to grow these crops even better. So, it doesn't surprise me really that, I agree with you. He should have kept his mouth shut because he's biting the hand that feeds him. Unless, it's all what he's saying. It's just all part of the game. They want him to do that. You know, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he's being manipulated.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So what's your take on this big, massive Obamacare failure? Where do you see that going?
Well, you know what? From where I stood ever since they started talking about the health care, which was when Obama was still running the first term, I wasn't really buying it because I don't see the incentive for business and even Congress, even the government in the United States to put something together that's really going to work for the people. There's too many greedy hands in the process that I think that you know that it's destined not, if they do pass it, it's only there to suck money away from the people, not to make it better for them. I don't put too much stock in it.
Yeah, I saw a news report today, and they were talking about colleges and universities, and the college kids previously would pay $100 a year with a $5,000 deductible for this college health care program, right? And now that Obamacare comes in, the same program with a few bells and whistles is $1,800 for a year. Now that's a good kick in the can, isn't it? And I saw another one where this mature lady, when I say mature, I mean she's up in her 80s. The only plan that she could get didn't allow for any hip surgery if that ever happened, but she could most probably get the birth control pill without any issues. And she's 80 years old.
This just reeks of the big insurance with their hand in it, doesn't it? I mean, it's like some of these clauses you get in just a standard life insurance policy or a policy you might get at work. Okay, so you get this one hand dismemberment. If you lose one hand at work, you get this amount of money. If you die, this amount of money. What causes your death? You can fall off or break your neck, go to the hospital for a week, and then die, but it wasn't the fall that killed you. It was pneumonia or something else that you picked up since then, or just the fact that you lived for that week proved it wasn't the fall that killed you. And these insurance companies do this. This is the way people manipulate money, manipulate us. Mm-hmm. And I think the whole healthcare thing in the States is just it's just part of the big scam to suck more money out of the poorer people. And
I just don't understand why they basically destroyed the whole healthcare system and put a government system in its place that didn't work, doesn't work, won't work. And, you know, it's clear that those people that are healthy, that do not require a doctor in their lifetime yet, are the ones that are paying the most for the health care to compensate for those that are heavily dependent on the health care system. So, I mean, I get the system. I understand why it's happening. But millions of people had health care, and they were quite happy with it. And yet, you know, the government just went and tossed all of that out and frankly pissed off everybody. I don't know of anybody that's happy about the system.
Yeah, you know, and I think it all comes back to the money. It was just another way to squeeze more money. And I didn't buy the sincerity of it when Obama first started talking about it as a candidate. And I really haven't bought anything about it that they've been trying to sell since then. It's, you know, to me, it's just another one of those issues that they it keeps people's minds occupied and maybe off of some of the even more important things. And all the way along, it pays for itself by sucking more money out of them. And I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I'm not. I think the Americans need some good health care. I think ours could do a lot better than it is. But I don't think the interest is there to really. The concern isn't there for the people that really need the health care. Yeah. Anyways, aside from all that, I think that I don't like Obama. I never did like Obama, just because just because of, I don't know, there was too many things that timed out just perfectly for that election. And, you know, I mean, I have nothing against, you know, them having a black president or whatever kind of president, whatever kind of demographic the guy comes from, that doesn't bother me at all. But everything just timed out so perfectly for that 2008 election. And Obama, I don't think, is anything at all more than a puppet down there now.
Yeah, I think so, too. But what does concern me, however, is that, you know, 35 years ago, a president could say something and then completely turn around and change his mind. And pretty well the news agencies would let him get away with it because they were good old boys. But now he can't get away with that. And when he says something, you know, he's nailed to the cross and he can't say, I didn't say it.
We will keep this promise to the American people. If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor, period. If you like your health care plan, you will be able to keep your health care plan, period.
You know, like, I mean, that's pretty clear. You know, there's no way around that. I mean, and he knew when he said that, that it was a bold-faced lie. Like, what the hell is that?
I think the thing, you know, and we talk about how this, you know, the media, even the social media, can pick up on something and it can turn against them so fast.
Right.
I think the result is still the same. People get tired of hearing it. I think at least back 35 years ago when somebody, the grassroots people would get upset when they finally found out that he lied, I don't think anybody gets upset about it anymore. They just expect that from the politicians.
I think they should,
because I think that's what they're getting from the politicians. They better expect it. I think lying is a matter of course for politicians now. I don't think it's got anything to do with just saving their ass or trying to get a political agenda pushed through. I think it's just the nature of the game now.
Right. Yeah, I think it is. I think it's just, you know, when a politician says something, just don't take it as verbatim, because it's just not. You know, it's pump and pump for today, and hopefully the people will forget about it tomorrow, because there'll be a new pump tomorrow. The spin doctors are absolutely vicious.
Well, sure, and I think we as a people, you know, I mean, I think we need to wake up to the degree that look, you know, people that think the government is there for them, if they could point to another time in history and show me when the government has ever been there for the people.
Mm-hmm.
People are there for the government. And this government in the United States, according to the Constitution and the Founding Fathers, is supposed to be by the people, and the people didn't look after it properly. That's why the corporations have it now.
And I think
responsibility.
And I think also, let's be honest about this. Let's just break it down into reality. Why would a person spend $200 million or $1 billion to become president of the United States for a job that pays $493,000 a year for 5 years? The numbers add up. I mean, they just don't add up.
No.
And how can, like when Clinton left office, suddenly he's buying $1.5 million estate in New York and, you know, he's built the Clinton Library when money came in out of his ears for that. And he travels all around the world, you know, paid on somebody else's dime as basically, you know, a paid mouse, you know?
This is a whole other book of questions. It really does, you know. I mean, and well, for one thing, they're not paying for it themselves. They have people that want them in there, and this is, again, you know, brings us right to the nature of the beast. It's not even them that's spending the money to get there. It's the money behind them, and it's the money behind them pulls the strings and makes them do some of the stupid things they do as politicians, or at least apparently stupid. You know, nobody came across is a bigger idiot than George Bush, I don't think, but I don't think he was an idiot. I think George Bush was a very intelligent man who played the part of an idiot.
Yeah, I think I actually liked George Bush. I didn't like some of the things he did, but I think for the time that there was in history, I think you know, did a fairly good job. I have a lot of questions regarding the Homeland Security Act and all of those suspensions of rights, the tapping of phones and stuff like that. I have a great deal of problems with, but overall, I think he did the best that he could with what he had. And don't forget, you know, he was fighting Congress all the way, both Republicans and Democrats. So they were making sure he didn't get very far.
I think that's why he didn't try. I saw that show anyways. I'm not sure they were all against him, because as vocal as they were, it seems that an awful lot of both sides were voting for George Bush's policies. And you know, I think George Bush, in a lot of ways, I don't think he did him justice there. I think he did just about everything he wanted to do. I think he did everything he was meant to do when they put him in office.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think he did a good job from that standpoint.
Yeah. I tell you what, Hugh, let's do a quick break here, and then we'll do the last 15 minutes. And, of course, I've left the last till the best. We'll have a little chat about our mayor in Toronto, Mr. Rob Ford.
Okay. All right.
Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com.
Here at the VOCR, we do appreciate viewers and readers' email. We hope if you have something you wish to say, statement you wish to make, an opinion you wish to render, then you send the email to VOCR2012@gmail.com, and we'll get it on the blog, and you might even get an honorable mention on the air.
This is VOCR Radio, and I'm Guru Nostra. Phone lines are open. On air live, 347-324-3287.
The fact is, we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
If you got a business, you didn't build that.
John's last-minute economic plan does nothing to tackle the number one job facing the middle class. And it happens to be, as Barack says, a three-letter word, jobs. J-O-B-S, jobs.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And, of course, we've got Hillary Clinton looking at 2016. That concerns me.
Yeah, it is a concern. Of course, I heard, I was reading somewhere today about Jeb Bush thinking about going for it, too. Saying something about he's put his record up against anybody's. Yeah, but put it up beside your brothers and your fathers, and then we'll see how that looks.
Yeah, I don't think Bush will be electable, just like I don't think Clinton would be. The Benghazi issue hasn't been resolved yet, and there's some really nefarious things happening there.
So let me ask you this, Colin, then who do you see? Just pick a couple of names out of the hat. Who do you see in 2016?
Well, I see Ted Cruz. I think he's taking a serious look at it. And I think he'll try and convince Paul Ryan to go as his VP. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Mitt Romney doesn't take another run, because everything that Mitt Romney said about the health care has come true. So, you know.
So mind you, it was easy for him to say it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, I mean, it's not hard to be a naysayer. Now I'm not saying Romney would be good or bad. I'm just saying that, you know, he hasn't convinced me yet either that he's got anything good to offer. But you never know. I mean, the election is a whole new race. So,
well, I like the fact that he's a businessman and a very successful businessman, and he does know how to pull things out of the fire. He did great with the Olympics, and you know. And he did great with corruption. And so, you know, I do like that of him. But yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a crapshoot as to who would be the president of the United States. But speaking of president of the United States, Rob Ford was all over the news today. And he wants to be prime minister.
I've had enough. That's why I warned you guys yesterday. Be careful what you wrote. Okay, so that's all I have to say for now. Oh, and the last thing was Olivia Gondek. It says that I wanted to eat her pussy, Olivia Gondek. I've never said that in my life to her. I would never do that. I'm happily married. I've got more than enough to eat at home.
I mean, really. Come on, you know. And I apologize to all the people listening, but that was a direct quote, so that's why it came up on the air. But, my God, this man is as crude as it comes. And he got a show on Sun News Network, and it was called the Ford Nation. You know,
uh-huh.
He got thrown off radio there last week. So Sun News Network gave him a shot onto Sun News Network up on 177 here in Calgary, called the Ford Nation. He did one show, and they canceled him because they said for a one-hour show, it was taking 8 hours of editing through the legal department to be able to air a one-hour show. And,
five hours of shooting and 8 hours editing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just unreal, apparently. Now, according to his friends, he says, you know, he's very well liked in Alberta, and he's got a good following, and, you know, he just might take a run at the prime ministership. No matter what we think of Stephen Harper, no matter what we think of Justin Trudeau, for the love of God, Canadians, give your head a shake if you're even considering it. Now, John A. Macdonald, our first prime minister, was a drunk, and but he kept the whiskey separate to his job. And just like Kurt Churchill said when he was intoxicated, because he used to love to drink, this woman said, Mr. Churchill, you're drunk. And Churchill looked at the woman and he says, and madam, you're ugly. The difference between you and me is tomorrow morning I shall be sober.
Yeah.
You know, you know, and Churchill functioned very, very well in that intoxicated state. Now, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but Rob Ford has got a lot of work to do if he's going to bring his life around where people are going to take him seriously as a politician. You know, the man is out of control.
No, sorry, I was just going to say I was looking at a picture of him. I was looking through the Canadian Free Press online today, or the Canada Free Press, and there was a picture of him and his brother. And now I didn't read far enough to see what event they were at where this picture was taken, but if anybody goes there and takes a look at it, you look at these two, and this is it looks to me like they're whacked out on coke. Just the smiles on their faces, just the way they look right there. It's both of them got a really psychotic look on their face, and you know, I think. Probably he's probably a fairly straight shooter. He certainly hasn't been trying to deny all the allegations against him. He hasn't been trying to hide them, apparently, or he hasn't been doing a very good job of it. But no, I agree with you. I mean, you know, whether he's open about it or hidden about it, we certainly don't want somebody like that as a prime minister. But I'm a little put off by the town council in Toronto, the game that they're playing to try and get him out of there. They know they can't. They know there's no mechanism to get him out of there. So what do? They cut his office's budget down to almost nothing. Yeah, if there isn't a mechanism there, get into the council chambers and start trying to figure out how to get a mechanism in place so it doesn't happen again. But don't start, you know, just taking the law into your own hands and coming up with all these other.
I think what concerns me, and I don't like Rob Ford. I think the man is, you know, he needs to be out of politics for at least a year or 2 years and get his stuff together. But what bothers me is, you look at the Rob Ford track record since he came in, he's done a hell of a job for Toronto, a hell of a job. He's pulled them out of
a lot of
debts. Yeah. He's shut down the cronyism, you know, and that's his argument, is that this has got nothing to do with whether I smoke pot or drink and drive. They want me out of the way because I've shut down their gravy train.
Doesn't that raise the question, though, Colin, of, you know, again, same thing in anywhere in the States, in any political system. He stepped on a lot of toes by doing that. He's cut off the gravy train for a lot of big people that counted on that gravy train. How do we know that this whole thing wasn't just at least brought into the public focus? Yeah. To try and discredit him. I mean, maybe he's not as bad as he's being made out to be. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't have a problem, but maybe it's just not the problem. I mean, like I said, he never tried to deny it. He never tried to, or at least that I haven't heard of anyways, try to cover it up or deny it. He's been open and honest any time he's been asked a question, as offensive as his answers might be. He doesn't seem like the kind of a guy that's going to go and hide those sleazy little games that most politicians would. Yeah. And, again, I don't want him as prime minister, but I think it's refreshing every once in a while when somebody gets into office and is able to at least tell the truth about something.
Well, I think he did a lot of good for Toronto. He fell mm-hmm. off the rails, you know, and a lot mm-hmm. of people do. Like I say, John A. MacDonald was a drunk. You know, I mean, the man, you know, would fall down drunk in Parliament many times. But he mm-hmm. was, is considered one of the greatest statesmen of Canada. And if mm-hmm. you read the MacDonald papers, some of the finest law and understanding ever written. I mean, the man is fantastic. He didn't allow the alcohol to rule him. He ruled the alcohol, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you could possibly yep. do that, I don't know. But, you know, he was smart enough to avoid, going into the deep alcohol well and not coming out, although he was a drunkard. And he admitted
certainly,
he was a drunkard.
Yeah, and he certainly didn't have the spin doctors available to him that the politicians
exactly.
do
yeah.
today. You know,
plus,
I mean, he couldn't.
Plus the media. I mean, they would hear maybe a week, 10 days, maybe a month later, of an intoxicated performance in Parliament. He didn't see it on CPAC. There isn't video to be replayed over and over and over and over and over again, like they do with
yeah.
Rob Ford. I mean, we're doing the same yeah. thing by playing the clips. I mean, you know, those clips will live in infamy, if you will. Live in infamy.
They certainly will. They're highlight reel clips.
Yeah, they are. Hugh, I can't believe it. We banged through an hour already.
Wow, that was quick.
Yeah, yeah. Now, hopefully I'll get this cold handled, because Night Talk Radio, Saturday night, we have Ali Cheslick, and she's mm-hmm. going to be taking some phone calls and doing some psychic readings over the phone, so I'm pretty excited for that.
That'll be a good show.
It will be a good show. It will. So you and I shall talk again at another time. And ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's all. Another edition of VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies. It has been a pleasure.
Hey there.
Hi, girl.
We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard, and we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition of VOCR Radio. This has been a TerraCast Network production.